from the technical problems we've been having, inshallah. Can someone in the back over there in the hallways please inform the program committee that we're starting about 30 minutes, exactly 30 minutes late, so some of the coming lectures will have to be rearranged, inshallah. Whatever they decide, just to let the people know that we're starting 30 minutes late. Inshallah, this lecture now is going to be a continuation of what we had at this time yesterday, continuation of the lecture titled Fundamentals of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and the speaker is Sheikh Mahmoud Murad.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. I continue today with the principles of the methodology of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. I talked about the first four principles that were just to remind ourselves with it. The first principle was that the source of aqidah and laws is the revelation, that is the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second is putting revelation ahead of reason and intellect. The third, the forbiddance of innovating or introducing new rituals in the deen. And the fourth, refuting the arguments of the deviant sect. In a methodology which is based on the book of Allah and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in other words, clear-cut proof from these two sources. I think I stopped there. I did not elaborate yesterday. So this actually means that the methodology of our pious predecessors was based on the wahy. And they also used their intellects. Some deviant sects say that they say that the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not apply their intellect, did not use their intellects. Subhanallah. They were the most perfect, the most knowledgeable in terms of aqidah, in terms of laws, in terms of intellect, in terms of everything. They were the best of people. They applied their reasons. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala presented intellectual, rational proofs in the Quran. أَفَلَا يَنظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ. Don't they see and consider how the camels were created? You see, listen at this. وَإِلَى الْجِبَالِ كَيْفَ نُصِبَتْ. How the mountains were set up. How the earth was leveled. In other words, he was giving them something from their own environment. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for instance, said to Ali, to have one man guided at your hand, if Allah guides one man at your hand, it's better for you than what? Gold, silver? The best of property at that time was the big red camels. So he said, it's better for you than the big red camels. It's, in other words, the proofs were given to them from their own environment and rationale as well. But the difference between Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, when they use the rationale from those who use the rationale, those deviant sects, they put rationale ahead of revelation. No, the companions, revelation comes first. And our reason, our intellects help us to understand better. And that's why the people of knowledge said, there's no sound intellect that will contradict the right or authentic revelations. The other way around is not. Whoever, in other words, whoever seeks knowledge or a haqidah from other than the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the source that they went, he has something wrong with his own intellect. And whoever opposes them, he does not belong to Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Whoever opposes the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he does not belong to Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Now, the fifth, the provability of the Sunnah. provability of the Sunnah. It is substantiated from the testimony of faith. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. What do I mean by provability of the Sunnah? In other words, the Sunnah is to be used as argument, as clear and clear cut proof. And he who doubts it, is something wrong with his iman, something wrong with his aqidah. Why? Because anyone not only doubts it, but the one who breaches it, the one who rejects it, he in effect breaches the testimony of faith. You know why? Because Allah says, the testimony of faith is, La ilaha illallah, there is no true God except Allah, and Muhammad Rasulullah. Do you know what the meaning of Muhammad Rasulullah? Of course everybody will say that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. But this is the linguistic meaning, brothers. You have to keep it in mind. Just if you want to translate La ilaha illallah into linguistic meaning, there is no God but God. And this does not have any meaning. There is no God but God. There are thousands of gods beside Allah. But are they true? Do they deserve to be worshipped? As you know, the Hindus, whatever they like, they make it as a god. So there are many gods beside Allah, and that's what Allah says in the Quran, of course. I'm not using my opinion, but Allah says that there are many gods beside Allah, but do they deserve to be worshipped or not? So the true meaning, actually, not the linguistic meaning of La ilaha illallah, we say the legal meaning of La ilaha illallah, you have to add the word true. There is no true God except Allah. All of those gods are false. But there is only one who is true, that is Allah. Which means no one deserves to be worshipped except Allah. So in other words, when we go back to the point, say, La ilaha illallah, there is no true God except Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. If we say Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, this is the linguistic meaning. We believe in it. Of course he's the messenger of Allah, no doubt about that. But what does it connote? What does it mean to say Muhammad Rasulullah? It means that you have to believe every statement he made. One thing, to believe in every statement, in other words, to believe him in everything he said. Second, to obey him, to obey his commands, and to refrain from his prohibitions. If he says, do not do that, keep away from it. If you do it, there's something wrong with you. Because he who obeys Allah, obeys the messenger of Allah, in effect, obeys his messenger. Who sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allah. So, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, and the true believer is the one who believes him and who obeys him. And the third point is to worship Allah only in accordance with his teachings. So, Muhammad Rasulullah, the messenger of Allah, means that he, to believe every statement he made. Second, to obey his commands and refrain from the prohibitions, from his prohibitions. Third, the third one, which is very important actually, is to worship Allah only in accordance with his teachings. You know what that means? What does that mean? It means that if a scholar says, well, I think if we observe certain prayer, alhamdulillah, they keep us awake. If we, for instance, right after midnight, when it is 12 o'clock, get up and perform Torah. Where did you get this from? Well, it's good, alhamdulillah. Keep your good to yourself. Keep your good to yourself. We don't need it. Because Allah has sufficed us. See, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not die. In other words, Allah did not collect him before the deen was perfect and complete. So nobody needs to, as I explained yesterday, none, Islam is perfect, doesn't need any little thing. If somebody, for one reason or another, think, well, I wish that this would be added. You know what does that mean? It means that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not convey the message perfectly. And anyone believes that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not convey the message perfectly, something wrong with his iman, with his deen, everything. So here we have to realize that to take the sunnah for granted as it is as a proof upon which our deen is based, This actually in fulfillment of the conditions of La ilaha illallah. The one who does not agree with it, something wrong. This is a breach of the testimony of faith. That's how important to believe that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the one who conveyed to us whatever came to him from Allah. And he was commanded by Allah. بَلِّغْ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ. Convey whatever was revealed to you from your Rabb. And he did in a perfect manner. In fact, he did it in the best manner among all the prophets and messengers. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the best in everything, including conveying the message which was revealed to him by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So, to believe that a sunnah is a proof, and the second source of deen means that, as I said, it is of the requirements of the testimony of faith. Second, that this means that the messenger of Allah is the most knowledgeable of Allah. He is the one who knew Allah best and most. And he is the one who feared Allah most. Nobody can dare to say that any human being feared Allah more than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He feared Allah most. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I am the best of you, and the one who fears Allah among you all, the one who fears Allah most. And he also is the keenest to pass on the goodness to mankind. See the difference, brothers. All the prophets, every prophet was sent to his own people for that particular time and age. Allah kept Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until the last. Why? So that his message continues until the day of resurrection, until Allah inherits the earth and whatever on earth. This means the universality of Islam. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, the likeness of what Allah sent me with is like a man who came to his people and he said, O my people, I have seen the army with my own eyes coming to annihilate you. And I am the naked warner. The naked warner is Arabic term. It's an Arabic term, is known term there. To say al-nadhir al-uryan, that is, they say, when the man wants to warn some people about something, and he would come to them just like they are, and he will warn them, they would not heed, or they would not pay attention, the way when he takes his clothes off. Something horrible. What's wrong with you? I'm warning you. At that, he captured their attention, and he would say, he said, I am al-nadhir al-uryan. I am the naked warner. I'm warning you that there's an army coming to you. Then, that's in the hadith of Bukhari, and he said, run for your life, run for your life. What a beautiful word, brother. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given something that no prophet before him was given. Jawami' al-kalim. The conciseness of speech. He would say few words, and the scholars write volumes on them. Just to give an example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was playing with a little child, young child, maybe 1 year old, or he said, Ya Numayr, ma fa'ala Nughayr? He visited, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visited a companion who had a little kid brother or child brother. And he told him, Ya Numayr, his name was Numayr, ma fa'ala Nughayr? Oh Numayr, what did the little sparrow do? He wants to just kid with him. Imam al-Shafi'i deduced 70 rulings of this hadith. 70 rulings of this hadith. That means you are allowed to visit your brother. You are allowed to kid with the little kids as long as you say something true. You are 70 rulings from this hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I am given jawami' al-kalim, the conciseness of speech that no prophet before me was given. Of course, along with other things that no prophets before him was given. So when we hear this, he said, just, I am the naked warner. I'm warning you, there is an army. Run for your life. In other words, there is hell on fire. Run for your life. Believe in Allah as the only God who is worthy of being worshipped. And he also, the Prophet ﷺ wants to emphasize this fact. He came to really to save mankind from hellfire. Of course, with the will of Allah and through the message of Islam. He said, my likeness or my example, like a man who set a fire, bonfire. And when it lit around him, all the moths start coming to it. And the man was so merciful. Look at the example he's giving him. He said, my likeness, I am, or my example, like a man who set a bonfire and the moth start coming. Of course, as you know, they come to light and they do not realize. They come for the light, not for heat. But before they realize it, the moth, they burn and fall down in fire. And he said, when the moth start coming, he start pushing them away. He didn't want the moth to be burned, pushing them away from, and they're still coming. You see, because that's the nature of those insects, they come to light. But look at this. Fire, not light, fire. It is not light, it's fire. Keep away, keep away. And the man was pushing those moths, and they insist on coming there, and they insist on being burned in the fire. He said, and I am that man. I'm trying to push you away. Of course, this is not the companions, brother, because some deviant sects you say, see, those companions whom the Prophet ﷺ kept pushing them away from fire, and they fell in fire, wal-iyad billah. As we know, he is the messenger to mankind at large, and the majority of mankind belong to hell. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ meant, that I'm pushing them away from the fire, and they're still coming by force into fire. And that's what Allah says, the majority of mankind belongs to hell, wal-iyad billah. And I'm holding, he said, I'm holding with your waist. I'm pushing you away. Pushing you away. And you insist on coming. So that actually reflects the mercy of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not for the Arabs. Not for anyone in particular. But all mankind. Because Allah said, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We sent you only as a mercy to mankind and jinn as well, brothers, not just to mankind. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that even the jinn asked him, O Rasulullah, supplicate for Allah to provide us, to give us our provisions. The people who use intellects, come on, we didn't see the jinn. No, we don't take this. They don't take it. Let them do so, but we believe in everything that is proven to be authentic, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, is true and authentic. So this means that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the guide that Allah sent to mankind, and to give the good news, the glad tidings as well, to warn. He never left anything good, but he guided his ummah to it, and he never left anything evil, but he warned his ummah, that is ummah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, against it. Now, do not misconstrue the term ummah, brother. See that we have to understand these. I'm very particular about the terms, Islamic terminology. As I said, use the word Lord, because it means this and that and wrong. Now we use the term ummah. The ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mankind at large. So do not be confused saying, well, the ummah of Muhammad, the kafirs. Yes, brother, Allah is sending him to mankind. We sent you only as a mercy to mankind. So the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all mankind, from the day he was sent until the day of resurrection, all those are ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Christians, the Jews, the Hindus, you name it. All mankind are the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now somebody would say, well, what do you mean? We are the Muslims, we call ourselves the ummah. Well, how come the Jews and Christians call it? Yes, all mankind are the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but they're called the ummah of da'wah. The ummah to whom the da'wah is going. We as Muslims, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we are the ummah of response. Anyone who responds to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam belongs to the ummah of response. In other words, you respond to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you become Muslim. Those who do not respond to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. See, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent and divided mankind into two camps. According to the authentic hadith, in Bukhari, I think if my memory does not betray me, all Muslim, Jabir ibn Abdullah said, a group of angels came to visit the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam while he was asleep. Now listen to this, this clarifies the term Ummah. When they came, they said to each other, he was asleep. They said, there is an example for your companion. Strike a parallel or an example for him. Some of them said, but he's asleep. He can't hear us. The others said, no, he's awake. It is only the eyes that are asleep, but the heart is awake. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ said, the dreams of the prophets is revelation. They said his example is like a man who built a house and he gave a meal and he sent an inviter to go out to invite people to come in and eat. Come, there's food inside, come inside, come and eat. He who responds to the inviter will enter the house and eat of the food, from the food. And he who does not will not enter the house nor eat from the food. Then they said, interpret it for him, that he might comprehend it. Some said, he's asleep. But the others said, only the eyes are asleep, but the heart is awake. They said, as far as the house is concerned, it is the Jannah. As for a da'i, the inviter, is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He who responds to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will go to Jannah. And he who does not, will not go to Jannah. وَمُحَمَّدٌ فَرْقٌ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ Muhammad, فَرْقٌ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. In another version, وَمُحَمَّدٌ فَرَّقَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Farq, that means the criterion between right and false. فَرَّقَ, it means divided mankind into two camps. As Allah says in the Quran, فَرِيقٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَفَرِيقٌ فِي السَّعِيرِ. A party will belong to Jannah and a party will belong to the hellfire. Number three, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conveyed everything he received from his Rabb according to the ayah, يَا أَيُّهَا الرَّسُولُ, O Messenger, بَلِّغْ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ. Convey whatever was revealed to you from your Rabb. And if you do not, listen to this warning to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you do not, you will not be considered as have conveyed the message. And we know, brothers, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam feared Allah most, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala recognized him as having perfect manner, perfect in everything, and perfect in conveying the message of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So many people claim this, actually it's very important here, claim that, let me just go over the basis of this principle. I said the provability of the sunnah. It means that of the requirements of the shahada is to believe the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in everything he said, and that the other way, one who does not, he's breaching the testimony of faith. Second, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the most knowledgeable of mankind with Allah, and he fears him most. Third, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conveyed everything Allah revealed to him. So there are many people said, wait a minute, with regard to sunnah, because the main principle is the provability of the sunnah, right? Because some people say, wait a minute, we have to differentiate between the sunnah that we received from a group, large group of companions, and the sunnah that we received from little group or small in number group of companions. Where did you get this from? They say, they refer to this to hadith, type of hadith which is called hadith al-ahad. Hadith al-ahad is the hadith that has been passed on, narrated through a small chain of narrators that does not reach the level of that which being conveyed by large groups to the larger groups, like the Quran, for instance. It is called at-tawatur. The whole ummah in those days received it from one generation after another. But here, the point here, they reject the hadith. Of course, certain sects, they reject the hadith, which is referred to as hadith al-ahad. Now, we believe that whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and it is proven to be authentic, we take it for granted, regardless of the number of narrators. If even one companions, conveyed one hadith, they took it for granted, because first and foremost, the companions are trustworthy. None of them forged a lie or said anything that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say. So we believe in their trustworthiness. Now, Imam Bukhari has compiled a certain chapter under the title which is called Kitab Akhbarul Ahad, the traditions that were reported by numbers of small number or group of the narrators, one or more, two or three, but not large number. So he said this hadith, in order to prove the provability of this hadith, he said, Malik ibn al-Huwayrith, may Allah be pleased with him, said, we came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and we were young people. They came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in order, they left their tribes and country and came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in order to learn Islam. They said, we were young people. We stayed with him 20 nights. Listen to this, 20 young people. Stayed away for 20 nights, away from their own families. Some of them married, and they felt that they want to go to their, they missed their families, in other words. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, was merciful. He noticed that. He was very kind. And he noticed that we missed our families. When he realized that some of us desired to go to his to their wives, he said, and we missed him, he said, he asked us, the narrator said, he asked us whom we left behind. For instance, are you married? I left my wife there. And you, I left my mother, I left my children. He asked us about our families that we left behind, and we told him. Then he said, go back to your families. Of course, 20 days, they learned enough, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, according to his discretion. He said, go back and teach your families whatever you learned here. And he mentioned other things that I do not remember. Now, this is narrator was saying that. He said, وَصَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي. Pray as you saw me praying. Now, what do we deduce from this hadith? In this hadith, there's a deduction that the hadith of individuals that is reported or narrated by individuals, not only in terms of aqidah, but in the rest of the aspect of deen. Those young people, imagine, do you think that they, all of them live in one home? Everybody has his own home. They went back to their families, back to their relatives. Every one of them was a single narrator. An individual narrator or narrator. And yet, they went back and conveyed or passed on the knowledge that they received from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. None of those whom they received back there in their country said, oh, we don't believe you because you are an individual only. We have to get the hadith from a group of Muslims. No, we don't believe that. None of them said that. They said, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. They said, we listen, we hear and obey. So this is a proof. Now, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Mu'adh bin Jabal to Yemen as a governor, he said, O Mu'adh, You're going to people of the book. You're going to meet people of the book in Yemen. Let the first thing you invite them to is La ilaha illallah. There's no true God except Allah. If they obey you, see, this is graduation, huh? You notice the hadith, subhanAllah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, perfect in everything. He said, if they obey you, then tell them that Allah has imposed on them a daily prayer, 5 daily prayers. If they obey you, that means, what's the point of commanding them to pray when they do not recognize Allah as the only true God to be worshipped? So he said, if they obey you, in other words, if they profess the testimony of faith, there is no true God except Allah, tell them that Allah has imposed on them 5 daily prayers. If they obey you, then tell them that Allah has imposed on them to pay a certain percentage of their properties, which they keep in their possession for the whole year, certain percent, to give it out, take it from their rich, that is the Muslims, of course, because they've already said, La ilaha illallah. As we know, he said, tell them that there's no true God except Allah. If they accept it, they accepted it. And because he said, and if they agree, then tell them that Allah has imposed on them the prayers. If they agree, see, he's going from one step down, from one step. He did not go and tell them that Islam is based on fire and they have to accept it or lump it or leave it, take it or lump it. No. One by one. One by one. La ilaha illallah. Alhamdulillah. They professed it. After that, you have to do. Perform salah. They perform salah. You give zakat. And if they obey you, tell them that Allah has imposed on them. If they obey, and so on and so forth. Now, Mu'adh ibn Jabal was an individual. All by himself. Although he sent with him Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, but Abu Musa al-Ash'ari went to this side of the country, and Mu'adh went to that side of the country. Nobody said, give us a proof. You are only an individual. In fact, those people or deviant sects that they say we do not take hadith al-ahad in aqidah. It's aqidah in itself. And the aqidah needs clear-cut proof from the Qur'an and the Sunnah. If they say, no, we don't take hadith al-ahad, the individual narrator hadith, in terms of aqidah, wait a minute. What you have just said is aqidah. And aqidah is not subject to intellect or reason or rationale. It is subject to qala Allahu qala Rasuluh. Allah says, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, bring a proof. They have no proof. But their proofs are through deduction. They beat around the bush, surmise, do this, I think, you think, he thinks, he thinks, and so on and so forth. In Islam, the aqidah is clear cut. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with this message in order to be conveyed. Some companions went to the end of the world. Some of them are buried in China. All over the world. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say, well, go a group so that if they ask you individuals, say, there we are. No, nothing. None of this at all. So we believe that whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is proven, said something and proven to be authentic. I'm insisting on proven to be authentic because there are more than 100,000 hadith that fabricated and forged. Luckily, well, we say luckily just as a figure of speech. Alhamdulillah, Allah has designated men to preserve the sunnah. Because Allah tabarak wa ta'ala promised to preserve al-dhikr. Inna nahnu nazzalna al-dhikr, wa inna lahu lahafidun. It is we who sent down al-dhikr, and we will preserve it. Al-dhikr is not restricted to the Qur'an. Huh? Al-dhikr is the Qur'an and everything that explained the Qur'an. Who explained the Qur'an? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has appointed certain men in order to sift the sunnah for us. Alhamdulillah. Now, in fact, the earlier Muslims did not have this. I'm not talking about the first three generations. Those Muslims before us. Alhamdulillah. Now we have al-Bukhari. You read it, close your eye. You're content. that the text of the Bukhari, the Hadith, Alhamdulillah, they're also Muslim, and after them, so many wrote books. For instance, As-Sunan al-Arba'a, all the scholars compiled the books of Hadith and presented to us. Yes. Others who compiled the Hadith, other than Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim, they have in their collection weak and authentic. Alhamdulillah, now Allah has made even easier for us. Like Shaykh Nasruddin Albani, may Allah grant him mercy and reward him for, on behalf of all of Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now we have Abu Dawood. Before you read it in your Hasan, I don't know, is this Hadith authentic or not? SubhanAllah, he came and divided the Abu Dawood collection. He put the Sahih of Abu Dawood, Da'if of Abu Dawood, Sahih al-Nasai, Da'if al-Nasai, Sahih al-Tirmidhi, Da'if al-Tirmidhi. Alhamdulillah, you didn't have to worry about that, brother. Read it, and you're so comfortable. A man who spent 60 years of his life working his eyes right on his book and writing on and on and on. So this is due to the mercy of Allah. We don't have to worry about these. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam conveyed the message, and whatever is proven to be authentic, that's why I'm insisting on proven to be authentic, because we can't take things. There are so many now. In fact, just before I came, it was a work was published of 15 volumes. 15 volumes, which was those volumes comprised 70 books of the weak hadith. In other words, an encyclopedia of weak hadith. Alhamdulillah. And not only that, you cannot afford to buy all this, you can CD. Any word of any hadith, hadith, weak or authentic. In other words, Allah is making it easy for us, so that we will have no excuse whatsoever on the day of resurrection. So Allah, I did not learn. Okay. Alhamdulillah, we have everything in our hands. Now.
We have one more lecture before Salat al-Jumu'ah.
You say it, bro. Go ahead, say it. Go ahead, say it to them. Okay, let me conclude, and Brother Kamal will stop me after that. That's what he wants to say. Anyway, so the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we swear by Allah. Listen to this, brothers. We swear by Allah, and we will be truthful in our oath that we take, that they are his companions. Allah has chosen them for him, and they were his disciples. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died while he was pleased, very well pleased with them, and left them on the right path. It's night as clear as it's day. So they are the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best of the ummah after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they obeyed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was pleased with them, and they were pleased with him, and we ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to summon us with them on the day of resurrection. None of the companions have any difference of opinion with regards to aqidah. Yes, there were differences of jurisprudential issues, but in terms of aqidah, none of them has any slight difference, and anyone who claims or alleges that there was something wrong with his iman or something wrong with his aqidah. Because the companions understood the aqidah better than anyone else, and they stuck to it, and they understand it perfectly. Yes, of course, there were certain issues that they differ over it. For instance, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud understood the hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said on the day of resurrection, the Muslims will be distinguished from the non-Muslims by the whiteness of their faces, the whiteness of the parts of their bodies that they use to perform wudu. Okay? We wash our arms to here, right? To the elbows. Wash our faces. Feet. On the day of resurrection will come that way. White faces, white. The parts that we use to wash for wudu. Abu Huraira, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the narrator of this hadith, he added to it, not to forge it against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, for instance, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you're going to have this part of your body is white, and stop, period. Then he added, he said, anyone of you who can make it longer, from an atra' al-ghurra, if you can make it longer, it's better for you. This is what Ibn Mas'ud said, not the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. He understood it that way. So one day he was performing wudu, all the way, instead of washing only to the elbows, he went all the way to armpit. So one man, the companions were very keen, and the tabi'een were very keen on learning from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was watching him. He wanted maybe to learn how the perfect wudu, because he was a companion. So he was watching him, and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, or Abu Hurairah, I'm not sure, anyway. So he washed all the way up to the armpit. He came to him and said, Abdullah, is this the wudu? What are you doing? Is this the wudu? That's how we perform wudu? Then he looked at him and he said, are you here, Bani Barrukh? Are you watching me? You know what did he say? Why did he say that? In other words, I'm performing my wudu for myself, not for you to look at me, to see me. I'm doing it for myself. I didn't say do it. So he objected to him being watching him what he was doing. But the companions didn't do that. They used to wash according to the Prophet ﷺ, to the Quran, all the way to the elbow. And these are minor differences that is tolerable. But anyone who claims that the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has difference of opinion with regards to aqidah does not belong to Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, because he's accusing the best of men after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I can see now that the time, you know, we were late in the beginning, and there's another lecture. So inshallah we'll continue tomorrow, but I hope tomorrow we'll have longer time, because we can't afford to. I want to finish this topic, and I make him right away too. Anyway, alhamdulillah.